our reading from God's Word today. It's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verse 13, to chapter 53, verse 6. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred, beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. It's good to be back with you this morning. I have a word for you today. We're going to be talking about the image of God in person. Before we do, I want to ask you to momentarily depart from digital devices and from connections to the electronic digital network of global proportions. I'd like to, that's shorthand for off the grid, and I'd encourage you to open your ears and move those buds somewhere else for just a few moments, because we have work to do together this morning. We want to look to Jesus and listen to him as he reveals himself to us. And as I've been talking to some of you over the last couple weeks, you'll know that at Geneva, we really want to get to know Jesus as he reveals himself to us in the scripture. We don't want cartoon versions or sappy simplifications of who Jesus is. But before we do that, we're getting personal. I want to get personal. Might be a little uncomfortable, what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to think about your face. Now, you can do this without touching your face, so you don't have to make a scene or anything, but I want you to think about your face with me for a minute. What would you change about your face if you could? What would you change about your face? Now, the first thing you think about is, what would you change about your face, like how it looks? So there are a number of things. Some of the people in my age group would just like to make our faces look younger. We look at the person in the mirror and we say, where did he come from? Where did she come from? It's simple for some of us. For some of you, it may be more complex. You may actually be good looking, and you're not sure what to do. But also, I want you to think about, how would you change your face in terms of what you do with it? Because if you're like me, your face doesn't always respond the way you want it to, at least with the timing you want it to. Like someone says something to you, and they're excited, and you know you're supposed to be excited, and you actually want to be excited, but you can't make your face do that. See what you're like? How is that? Okay, so do you have your face in mind now? Can you feel it? Man. I want to recommend that you not have facial surgery. I don't know if I have any comrades in the room who have had facial surgery. Don't have facial surgery if you can avoid it. Right? Most painful surgery I've ever had in my life, and I'm a veteran. I've had a number of different kinds of surgery. I recommend mostly against facial surgery. And the reason is that God, the reason you can sit there and feel your face right now is because God has made your face with so many nerve endings. Do you know what happens when they cut that? Morphine is what happens. Okay? So many. So you can play this game. If you're ever waiting in a long line, you're at Disney World with little friends, they're bored, they don't know what to do. Here's a game you can play. You say to them, okay, I want you to show me your angry face. And they'll show you that. They can do that. This is what my face, they're not angry, but they can show you what their face looks like when they're angry. And then you say, show me sad. Show me surprise. They can do this. You can do it too. Don't start now. People will look at you. You can even do your mom's face when she's angry, and that's different than your angry face. And so we put a whole lot of stock in reading people's facial expressions. It's one of the most important things we do. Tone of voice is the most important nonverbal communication factor. We put more trust in tone of voice than any other single nonverbal factor, but eyes and facial expression come next. Very important to us. And it's important, where are my cybersecurity majors, computer science people, it's very important in terms of facial recognition and AI and a bunch of stuff. Pretty soon, you're not going to have to know any passwords. It's all going to be facial recognition like Edna Mold. And you just look at things and your car won't start unless it sees your face. Faces are very important to our identity and to recognition. So I have a question for you that may sound unrelated, but is not. So work with me. Who has misjudged you recently? Who has misjudged you recently? And now I want you to flip the question. Who have you misjudged recently? Unfortunately, I have a list in both categories. I have to keep studying communication because I'm not that good at it. So I have a list of people who have misjudged me lately, and I have a list of people who I have misjudged lately. And you do too, if you think about it. Now, I don't want to pick too much. I don't want to pick on the internet too much, but I'm going to anyhow. How many of these misjudgments have happened to us or by us related to social media, which I don't participate in much, so that's not me, but might be you, or texts, or tweets, or if you're really old, email? One of the problems that we experience in these realms is that there's no living face. And in many cases, there's no voice. There's no living face and there's no voice. Thankfully, we sometimes get it right. In fact, texting and email is often helpful and accurate and that kind of thing, and we rely on it. But it's personal. See, face-to-face communication is personal. And it involves our face, and it involves our eyes, and it involves our voice. By the way, we have a number of people that are going to be involved in competition in the gold and white today and tonight. Don't stare at the ref for too long. Do look at the coach occasionally. Face to face, it's important. So the question is today, what would it be like to see Jesus face to face? What do you think that would be like? What would it be like to actually get to see Jesus face to face? And the scripture suggests to it is not what we'd expect. It's not what we would expect at first. Now, thankfully, I can tell you some of, I just need to pause for a second, because some of us have friends and loved ones who we have known who have had this experience now. I'd like to ask my dad, what's it like to see Jesus face to face? But thankfully, we also have the scripture, and I want to remind you of a story that you may be familiar with, the story of the rich young ruler. This is a man who had heard about Jesus and wanted to see him face to face and talk to him. And so the rich young ruler went to Jesus. And he asked Jesus a really good question. Someone in Geneva College, still this day in class, is going to ask a really good question. I hope a lot of you do. He asked Jesus a really good question. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And like a good teacher, Jesus responds with a question. He says, have you done this and this and this and this? Oh, yes, I've done all these things. What about this command? What about that command? And then Jesus says to him a very hard thing. See, meeting face to face with Jesus is meeting a human being who can look us in the face, and he is kind and he is good, as we will hear, but not easy. And he says to the rich young ruler, sell everything you have. And he has a lot of stuff. He is not traveling light. And give it to the poor. Sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And the text of Scripture in the Gospel of Mark says, and Jesus looked at him and loved him. And when we see Jesus face to face, that is both the look we long for, and it is the look that we get. Because Jesus has loved us. And the scripture says that the rich young ruler went away sad because he had many possessions. The Bible doesn't say that he rejected Jesus. He didn't follow him, at least immediately. And I want to come back to that in a minute. The rich young ruler was known by Jesus. And he was understood by Jesus. Jesus talked to him about his life. He was understood by Jesus. And he was loved by Jesus. And he was not misjudged. Jesus judged the rich young ruler rightly. He was judged rightly. We are never misjudged by the Lord Jesus Christ. He always judges. He gets us. In our eyes, in our face, he knows our face, he knows our name, and he gets us right. We're never misjudged. He always judges us rightly. So what does Jesus teach us in this about being made in the image of God? What does he teach us? Well, Jesus knows us already. He acts on his right judgment about us. And then he comes and speaks to us and speaks with us. When we, just like the rich young ruler, when we meet Jesus, he already knows us. He's already acted on our behalf. And he comes to us in love and speaks truth to us in love with great care. In his eyes. In his eyes. So he knows and judges us rightly, as the passage we read say, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the guilt and iniquity of us all. And by his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. He knows us and he acts on our behalf. But how are we seeing him when he acts on our behalf? We're not esteeming him. We don't desire him. He's not attractive. He looks terrible. We don't want him. We turn our back on him. And he goes to the cross. While we're looking away, you know the story of the crucifixion. Everybody leaves. We leave. This is not beautiful. This is not a person we want to have a face-to-face relationship. We leave. We turn away. And Christ suffers and dies for us while we're not esteeming him, the scripture says. So he acts for us and he saves us and we don't even know. And then he calls us. What are the voices you long to hear? Who do they belong to? Sit in my office at 9:30. I get a FaceTime call. Mrs. Kamaker sitting there with me. I don't do this very often, but I see the number. I take the call. Hi! Hi! It's her one word. Olivia has one word and chicken pox. She's showing off her chicken pox from Cyprus. Hi! Hi! I love that voice. I want that voice. I can't get enough of that voice. I'm looking for some other words eventually. Grandpa's never the first word. But I'm, right? But what voices do you long for? I hope you have a lot of them. But you want to hear them in person. FaceTime's better than nothing. But you want to hear them in person. You want to see the person's face. Jesus calls us. I want to hear his voice. I want you to hear his voice. There is no other voice. This is the voice that created the whole universe, and he cares about us. Takes us into account, knows us, understands us at our core. You see, image, the image of God has nothing to do with appearance. It has nothing to do with how we look. Jesus says to us, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. If we think we can look at a person and size them up, we are wrong. Always, always, always wrong according to the scriptures. So what does the image of God mean if it's not a picture, if it's not visual first and foremost? Look at how Jesus has dealt with us and you will understand what it means to be the image of God. To be the image of God is to know deeply and understand and to listen and to reckon based on what's happening. And then to do. The image of God is to act and to live. The living word. Word and deed. So we do and we speak in accordance with our words faithfully. Image of God. not appearance first. Understanding, knowledge, wisdom. Look at the passage. My servant is wise. And then acts on that wisdom. And then speaks truth and kindness and love. And then appears. There's a visual aspect. Jesus teaches us. We misjudge Jesus. He never misjudges us. We didn't know what he was doing. We turned away from him. But he loved us and acted for us when we would have nothing to do with him. And then he calls us and calls us to turn to him, to see his face, to recognize the beauty of his face. This is the Jesus who saves us and who reveals himself to us. Now, there are genuine theologians in this room. I am not one of them. And so I will take liberties. And you will talk to the genuine theologians in the room, and they will correct what I have, where I err by mistake. But I once heard a good sermon by a reliable preacher who told us from the scriptures that we should not presume that the rich young ruler rejected Christ ultimately. And reminded us that someone who has looked into the eyes of Jesus and Jesus has loved, is likely to come to him. And if you haven't done that, I want you to know that Jesus, if you can hear this, Jesus is looking to you in love, and you should come to him and listen to what he has to say. But I believe, look at the text, don't look at me, look at the text in the description of Jesus that was written 700 years before his birth by Isaiah, 700 years before his birth, and the descriptions of his disfigurement. I believe that Joseph of Arimathea saw. Two members of the council went to take Jesus' body. Nicodemus was one of them. Joseph of Arimathea was the other. I don't know how old he was, so it's speculative. It's speculative. I can't quote some commentator. It doesn't matter if it was Joseph of Arimathea. Human beings looked on the marred body and face of Jesus Christ and saw the reality of Isaiah 52 and 53 before their faces, and they loved him back. And they gave up wealth to bury him with the wealthy. And they hoped in his word. And he rose again from the dead so that we might have hope and that we might have life. This is the only Jesus I can worship. Because in Hebrews, Jesus said, I am your brother as well as your creator. And there is no suffering or anxiety or distress that you go through that I haven't already gone through, even unto death. And I'm going to lift you up in the very worst moments of our lives. Christ lives to raise us again and again and again and again, and ultimately will raise us in the last day so that we can see his beautiful appearance, his glorious face, and see and hear him face to face. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, you are so gracious to us, and we ask that you would so work in us by your Spirit that we would turn and return to our Lord Jesus Christ in every moment of our lives, in every circumstance and situation, that we would hear His voice and know Him and follow Him. We ask that You would do this by Your power and give us the grace to respond in faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.